blessed for being here. How many of you know God's got a good plan for our lives, right?
Amen.
You know, I'll tell you, we stick to the word here. And the Bible says in Jeremiah 29 and verse 11, it says, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, plans to give you a hope and a future and expected outcome. I'll tell you, it's good to know that God has a plan. Amen.
Amen.
I know this, that for my own life, my life was, well, I'll just say it this way, hell on earth until I came to know Jesus. But then even when I came to Jesus, I got off and doing my own things. And I'll tell you what, it just never seemed to work as good as it did when I'm on God's plan. And I'll tell you what, if you're off that plan or if you've strayed or if you've never been on that plan, just jump right back in. God's just waiting for you. His arms are wide open. He just wants to bless you. And so thank you so much for being here. It's going to be a start of the best days of your life. Praise God. You're going to walk out of here different, and God's going to do a work in your life. So thank you for being here. And if you'd fill out one of those blue cards, that would be a blessing. And if everybody would fill one of those out, that would help me. It's a good way for me to get to know people, but also it's a good way to communicate with me. If you have any special prayer requests or anything that you need to talk to me about or ask a question, that'd be a blessing if you could put that on there. I'd love to pray for you. I'd love to help you in any way I can. And so fill those blue cards out and drop those in the offering bucket as they go by, and that would be a blessing. And again, thank you so much for being here. God's got good things for you. Hallelujah. And some quick announcements before we get going on things. Of course, we're continuing our Wednesday night service. We do have a midweek service, and we started last week a series on divine healing and what God's will is on healing. And we saw clearly in the Bible that God is for people being healed. And so I'll tell you, if you're struggling in your body, and even if you're not, because someday you might be, we hope not, but if you are, you'll have an answer for it. And we're going to be continuing our healing series. We had a dynamic service this past Wednesday, and I just love to see everybody come out Wednesday night, 6:30. You'll be blessed. Also, don't forget, August 11th through the 13th, which is a Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, the Reverends Kevin and Annie Durant are coming here to South Dayton. Praise God. And so it'll be our first guest ministers in here, and it'll just be a blessing to have them. And here's the cool thing is that we're not announcing it to the other churches. We're keeping them all to ourselves. Praise God. And so... So this is just your own little private Holy Ghost session. Glory to God. And so Jamestown's not announcing it. Fredonia's not announcing it. We're saying you stay away. This is just for us. Glory to God. And so it'll be a blessing. It'll be wonderful. It'll be a time of heaven on earth. And one of the main reasons that we're not introducing or announcing it to everyone is we wouldn't have room for anyone. But also, I want them to minister to this congregation. And other churches and other people have other needs. Well, this church has its specific needs, and I care. Tell the other pastors this, but I care more about you than them. Amen. You're my sheep, and I'm the shepherd over you. I'm not shepherd over them, and they already have a pastor doing their own thing. And so we want just them to come and minister to what God has for this congregation, and it'll be awesome. It'll be a time of heaven on earth. So please, if you can be here, it'll be a Sunday morning, Sunday night at 6, Monday and Tuesday at 7. You will not regret coming to those services. There's going to be an impartation that God's going to have for you. I wouldn't have them in if it wasn't on my heart to do so. And so praise the Lord. Also, I want to remind you that today's our last day of the Holy Ghost series that we've been teaching on. And next week we're starting a new series, and we're going to be looking at something that I've only taught on a few times. See, I'm hiding my finger because I left my wedding ring in the car. I don't want my wife to get mad at me. So I'm hiding it there. No, actually, I always grab it when it's there and it's not there, and I'm like, oh, boy. But anyways, we're starting a new series next week on what does the Bible say about finances? And, it's interesting. The number one area that people struggle with, that I talk with, that sit across the desk from me, or when I talk to other pastors in this area, or I go to conferences where I talk to pastors from around the world, they say the number one thing that people struggle with is finances. And so we're going to show you, what does the Bible say about it? Because we don't want to twist your arm to give. We don't want to manipulate money out of you. We just want to let the Bible do the talking. And I'll tell you what, when you start doing it God's way, you'll start being blessed financially. And so I'm excited about that series. I've only ever had like two or three sermons in 3 years on money. I don't even know if I've ever done a full series. And the Lord says it's time. And so I'm going to obey Him and do it. And people will be blessed for it. Amen? Well, are you ready to be a blessing right now? Glory to God. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Of course, I always like to say this when there's visitors here for the first time that maybe you've never been in family church. And I want you to know when it comes to finances and when it comes to giving and receiving, we're going to stick with what the Word of God says. I was warned early on, years ago, that one of the main things you want to be careful of and steer clear of is to get in trouble with money and become money-minded. And so I just endeavored to stick with what God says in His Word. And then if you do the Word, you'll be blessed. And so 2 Corinthians chapter 9 in verse 6 says this. It says, "But this I say," and I'll remember this is the Bible, and we'll look at these verses in the series, but it says, "This I say, he which soweth sparingly will reap sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully will reap bountifully." So the Lord says your harvest is really dependent upon you and what you sow. But this is the point I wanted to bring out today in verse 7. It says, "Every man," notice it didn't leave anybody out, "according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give." Now here's what I want you to see. "Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." The Amplified says that God loves, he takes pleasure in, prizes above other things, and is unwilling to abandon or to do without a cheerful, joyous, prompt-to-do-it giver whose heart is in his giving. Now, isn't that the same way when, how many of you enjoy when somebody gives you a present? And let's say that this is a valuable present that I'm giving Jeff here. How many of you would enjoy this if the giver of the gift was like, "Here you go. No money left for me. Emptied my pockets out. Thanks a lot for that." How much do you think you would enjoy getting that gift? Or how much, "Brother, I have a gift for you. It's very valuable and it's precious to me and I want you to have it. I'm just so excited to bless you." How, a little bit different, right? Well, it's the same way with God and people offering time. Well, let me tell you something. If that's your attitude, hold on to the money. You're going to need it. Praise God. Because the Lord says He wants a joyous, cheerful giver. Lord wants you to be excited to give to His kingdom. The Lord wants you to be excited to get a part and be a doer of the Word. And so if you're not excited about offering time, maybe you need to renew your mind a little bit more. But let's get to the place where, Lord, we're just so honored to be able to bring what You've blessed us with. How many of you know He's the one that blessed you with the body? How many of you know He's the one that blessed you with a sound mind to make money? Yeah. How many of you know He's the one that blessed you in this country to live in a free country? And how many of you know it's His air?
That's right.
Good thing He doesn't shut the air supply off. Well, don't get quiet, I mean. Praise the Lord. That's true, right? I mean, it's all His. We're just stewards of it. And so let's just be doers of the Word. Let's be cheerful when we give. Praise God. And if we're struggling in this area, let's just renew our minds. Let's see what the Word says and say, "Lord, you know, that challenges me a little bit, but boy, I want to be obedient and I want to be blessed." And so, amen. Praise God. If you're giving, you can, of course, make your checks out to Family Church. If you're visiting with us, we're just so glad to have you here. You're not obligated to put anything in there. And so let's go ahead and let's pray this morning. Father, we're just so honored to give. Father, it's a joy to be able to give to You. Lord, we can't deny what You said in Your Word in Matthew chapter 6. You said, "Where our treasure is an indicator of where our heart is." And so, Father, I just, when I bring this to You this morning, Lord, it's out of a place of excitement. It's out of a place of, wow, we get to be a blessing to the kingdom of God. We get to do something for You. We get to help the plan of God go forward. And, Father, I just thank You so much for the opportunity to give. Father, I thank You that all the needs of this church are met. And, Father, I thank You that all the needs of everybody represented are met. Father, You love people. You're not trying to take from them. You're trying to get more into their lives. So, Father, we thank You. We magnify You. We love You this morning. We give You all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, normally before, the ushers go by, you stand your feet, but we're going to be teaching just a quick second on worship, so don't stand up to sing yet. I want to bring something out to you before we sing our last song. It was a couple of weeks ago that the Lord instructed me, you need to start showing people what biblical worship looks like. And, you know, you can't just expect people to do the Word if they don't hear the Word. And so, you know, and why would I teach on worship? I'm just going to take a quick second on this. But why would I teach on worship? You know, someday we'll have a whole service on the power of worship. And when you do it God's way, because I'll tell you what, things happen when the people praise God. You know, in the book of Acts, you see, they all came together in one accord. And they lifted their voice together and they praised God in unison. And the power of God fell and things changed. And mighty things changed and happened. You see, Paul and Silas in prison, in the worst situation, being beat. They were stripped naked. Their hands and feet were in stocks. They were behind the prison doors. And we see them at midnight, the Bible says, lifting their voice, praising and praying to God. Not being quiet, not just keeping it to themselves. They were worshiping God. And what happened? The chains fell off. The doors busted open. We see the walls of Jericho God told him, shout before the walls come down. Here the walls were standing. He said, just walk around it 6 times on the last day and just shout and rejoice and praise. And the walls came down. Amen. There's something about when people praise. And of course, we need to see it biblically. And, you know, I came from a very religious background and a very shy background. And it took me a while to renew my mind. I'll tell you, when I first saw somebody raise my hand, I said, what a bunch of Fruit Loops they are. I'll never go back to that church. And that's what I thought. And then I saw in the Word that God enjoys it when I lift my hands to Him. God enjoys it when I praise Him with my mouth. But don't take my word for it. I want to show you in Psalms chapter 63 and verse 3. And I'm just going to keep teaching this until Jesus tells me to stop. Praise God. Psalm 63. If I can get you to look more like this, the Bible, I can get your life to look more blessed. Amen? It's the truth. The more you look like the Bible, the more you'll look like Him. The more you look like Him, the more blessed your life will be. Psalm 63. I often say about my church, I don't know about the other churches, but I say this, that if you don't like the Bible, you probably won't like this church, because I'm a stickler to it. I wouldn't even know what else to say. And so we're just going to show you what God says in His Word, and you can judge it for yourself if you want to be a doer of it. But He says in Psalm 63 and verse 3, it says, because your loving kindness is better than life. This is David now. And remember, David was a man that the Bible said had a heart like God. And so I'll tell you what, I want to pattern my life after somebody who has a heart like God. It said, because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise Thee. Does that sound like something? It does. It's, Lord, thank You. You know, I'm always amazed. And again, this isn't to pick on anyone. I used to be there. I used to be on the other side of this. Is I'm amazed is that when we go to praise God, that people are silent. You know, it's the same thing. If I walked up to Jeff and gave him a gift, and he just stood there and said nothing to me, that would be awkward. And I'd walk away thinking, no, it's his problem, right? But here, Jesus gave us everything. He gave it. He died for us. God gave us eternal life. God gave us the opportunity to be blessed. And then when we come in His presence, we just stand there, and it doesn't make sense. You know, it's interesting that I had used to have season tickets to the Buffalo Bills. And man, nobody thought it was weird to shout and to praise and to be excited when the football would cross the goal line. 80,000 people went bananas, and I was one of them. We don't get to go bananas too much for the Bills anymore, but hopefully that changes sometime soon anyways. And nobody thought it was strange, but yet in church, I mean, how much more important is it that Jesus died, that you don't have to go to hell, that you have eternal life? Praise God. And so I have to say, at least start somewhere and just say, thank You, Jesus. But He says, I'll praise You. And then verse 4 says, thus will I bless Thee while I live. Well, how's He going to bless the Lord while He lives? I will lift up my hands in Your name. Now, are you ready for me to get a little bit bold here? I don't like lifting my hands. I'm not comfortable with lifting my hands. It blesses your Heavenly Father. Worship was never about you and how you felt, right? And I'm trying to be as sweet as I can here this morning, but people need to see and be doers of the Word. I say, what does this have to do with anything? Well, you become a doer of the Word then. And when you become a doer of the Word, it kicks things into motion and it starts getting things flowing. And when everybody does it at once, woo, the power of God, you wait and see. Power of God will fall in this place. He says, I'll bless Thee while I live, Lord. I'm not concerned with how I feel. I'm not concerned with what I think would be correct. I'm going to bless You. I'm going to lift up my hands. What's David saying? Doing this blesses God. Do you see that there? And because it blesses God, I don't mean to be crude, but if He said to do a cartwheel while picking my nose, that would worship Him. Guess what I'd be doing up and down these aisles? A cartwheel while picking my nose. But thank God for you and for me, it doesn't say that. It just says, lift up hands in Your name. And then verse 5, it says this, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise You with joyful lips. Now again, I like to let people grow, and I like to give people an opportunity to hear the Word. Listen, we're not asking you to swing from the chandeliers and be a raging lunatic during worship. Just start somewhere. You always start somewhere. God is merciful. He'll help you along. If saying anything in church is just like the death of you, just quietly under your breath say, thank You, Jesus. Some people won't even do that, you know. And just start somewhere. If lifting your hand is hard, maybe just give them one of these. Give them a finger. The right finger. Make sure you give them the right finger. You know which one we don't want to give them. But give them that. Just give them one of these. Just give them a just start somewhere. Amen. I remember just starting somewhere. I remember the first time I did this, it was like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? I'm one of them. But I saw it was the Word, and I just wanted to be a doer of the Word. So that's what we're going to be teaching, and we're going to be helping people to renew their minds to get people to look more like the Bible. Amen. Praise God. Well, let's stand to our feet and let's worship Him. Hallelujah. God is good. Praise the Lord. You know, in Hebrews 13, the Bible calls worship a sacrifice. You know, it's a sacrifice at times to lift your hand. The blood. We thank you that you gave all for us. Oh Lord, we're so blessed. We're so blessed, Father.
You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel. Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Taking my cross, my sin, my shame, rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name.
Sing Jesus.
Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name.
Father, you are so worthy. Lord, we're just so thankful for all that you've done for us, for all that you've given for us. We just praise your holy name. We magnify your holy name. We're just so thankful for Jesus and for the gift of salvation, for the gift of righteousness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just thank him for Jesus. Just simply say, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's just praise him again. Let's sing that again.
Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name.
You're worthy, Father. Be praised, be blessed this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Oh, you know, 90s classics, praise God, hallelujah. Well, are you excited about the Word?
Yeah.
Amen. This is why we're here, because of the Word, praise God. And again, I just encourage you, don't take my word for anything just because I say it or because any minister says it. Or, you know, he sure can put a nice divot in that tie. He sure must know what he's talking about. No, that don't mean anything. Always make sure it's in the Bible. Don't take my word for it. Don't take anybody's word for it. Make sure it's in here. And I just want to admonish you and let you know that we endeavor to stick to the Word of God here and what it says. And so let's go ahead and pray before we get into the Bible. Make sure what He wants said gets said this morning. Father, it's an honor to be here. And Lord, I'm just so thankful and so honored to be able to preach Your Word. It's such a privilege. Father, the Word is what set me free. The Word is what brought light and life into my existence. I'm so thankful for it. Father, I thank You for every single person represented here. Father, You love them so much. You just care about them so dearly. Father, You proved that by sending Jesus. And Lord, I just thank You that as I open my mouth, You'll fill it, and words from the Holy Spirit will come forth, and it'll be a blessing. And Father, I thank You that everybody represented here today, something will be said in this message, Lord, that'll strike a chord in their spirit. And it'll be a sign unto them that You love them and that You care so deeply about them and that You want Your highest and best in their lives. And so, Father, I thank You so much for it. I give You the praise. I give You the glory for it. We worship You this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Acts chapter 19. Hallelujah. You know what's interesting about this series that we taught? I've never, I think this is the second time, or second or third time. I think I've done it once a year. I taught a series on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And it's one of the subjects that Satan, and there's so much pressure to not teach it, because there's so much blessing that comes from people being baptized in the Holy Ghost, but then actually continuing in that. And I'll tell you what, we've had our absolute worst church attendance the last 3 or 4 weeks I've taught on this. And it doesn't surprise me. Things come up and things happen. And to try to rob from people and to steal from people. And this is something that people so desperately need. And so I'm glad that you're here today to hear this. And to see what the Word says, because when it comes to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and, you know, that dreaded T word of tongues, right? I mean, that's a dirty word in the church. Well, it shouldn't be. It can be scary because of maybe where you've come from, or maybe what you've heard about it, or maybe what you've seen. And I'll tell you what, people with this subject, they get in the ditch. They get in one side of the ditch where every service is nothing but tongues and swinging from the chandeliers, and it's just chaos all the time. But then there's the other ditch that people don't ever talk about it. And it's so clear in the Bible. And today when you see the benefits of praying in tongues, maybe you'll be like me and the way I was when I found out about that. Holy cow, I've been robbed. I don't understand why someone didn't show me this. And so, but we want to stay right down the center of the road. There's a time and a place for speaking in tongues. And it's not never, and it's not all the time. And so we'll take a look at those things today. But Acts chapter 19 in verse 1, and we're going to start there. These have been kind of like our golden verses that we've been looking at, and the verse that kind of set the stage and where we jumped from a few weeks back. And it says, "And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have you received..." Now notice what he said to disciples when he saw them. He said, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" The first thing he asks a group of believers is, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" Well, we already brought out a few weeks ago that the baptism of the Holy Ghost and salvation are two separate experiences, that Jesus told the disciples, wait for it, and then we find them in Acts chapter 2 in the upper room where they got filled with the Holy Ghost. But they were already Christians when Jesus told them to wait. And Paul perceived that they were disciples, and he said, "Well, have you got the other experience?" He said, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" And they said unto him, and this is the way it is in the body of Christ, "We have not so much as heard whether there even be any Holy Ghost." And unfortunately, that's an issue in the body of Christ, where people don't know anything about the Holy Spirit. Yet we brought out a few weeks ago that Jesus, remember when he died and rose again and he appeared to the disciples, he actually appeared to 500 people. He told them, he said, "Don't go out without this power." In Acts chapter 1, he said, "Don't leave Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high." Well, we see them obeying Jesus, 120 of them anyways, obeying Jesus in the upper room. And that's when the outpouring of the Holy Ghost came, and they received the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues. And we saw last week, scripture after scripture, that you can't be filled with the Holy Ghost without the subsequent experience of speaking in tongues. That's a misconception that Christians have said, oh, you can have all the Holy Ghost you want. You don't have to have that tongues business. Well, go on our live stream and look at our archives and look at last week's message. That would be great if the Bible didn't say that. And so the Word of God says that they were filled and began to speak. And it says it over and over again. And so that tongues business is Bible business. But Paul, he was interested in saying, have you received it yet? And go with me to 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 8, because today we're going to look at the benefits. And now, when you see this, you can see why when the disciples had heard, in one scripture, they heard that Samaria had received the Word of God. And they went down to him and said, have you received the baptism of the Holy Ghost? He said, no, we were only baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And Paul said, there's more for you. Laid his hands on them, they began to speak in tongues. They were Christians who needed something else. And maybe when you see this, it'll be a light bulb unto you that will let you know and to let you see, wow, I can see why the first thing Paul would ask them is this. I can see why Jesus would say, don't go out without this. And the problem is we have a lot of people in the body of Christ that are going out into a dark world. And let me tell you, Satan's running planet Earth. That's why it's in such a mess. And they're going out into a planet run by Satan, and they're getting trampled on. They're getting defeated. Their life is dry. They don't understand why there's no life, why there's no fire, why it doesn't flow. And I like to use this example, right, that their life is like paddling upstream in a canoe in a stream of peanut butter with straws as their paddle. Can you imagine that, how tough that would be with a straw and peanut butter upstream? And even downstream in peanut butter probably wouldn't be easy. And that's what people's lives are like. It's dry. It's like dusty and just no life there. Well, a lot of people are going out without power. Doesn't make them any less of a Christian if you don't pray in tongues. Doesn't mean you're any less saved. Doesn't mean that God loves the ones that pray in tongues more. Nope, God loves us equally. But it does mean you will lack power. Because think about it, if Jesus told the disciples, don't leave without it. And let's say they would have said, what's he know? You just, you know, that old preacher died on the cross, whatever. And when they went out, tell you what, that would have been different. But we see when those disciples went out, they went out in power and they changed the plan. They changed the world. And they say, well, that was just for the disciples. Well, that'd be okay too if next in that following sermon, Peter said, this promise that you see is for everybody. It's for you. It's for them that are far off. As many as the Lord our God shall call, as many as call on his name. And so the gift of the Holy Ghost is for anybody. And we don't want to go out without power. And maybe today when you see the benefits of praying in tongues, maybe it'll make you say, you know what? I better listen to Jesus and I better get this. But 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 18. To me, there is no better banner verse, no better billboard for tongues than this verse right here. You know, I've told this week after week now, but, you know, I love to archery hunt. It's probably my favorite hobby. And, you know, if we were sitting down and I was getting ready to go out and hunt, and if my wife started telling me about how to hunt and started telling me, this is what I think you should do, I'll tell you what's going in and out. It's going to be like the Charlie Brown, wah, 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 right? I'm not going to listen. Why? Because she has no credibility when it comes to hunting. And I'll tell you what, if she wants to talk about shopping at a department store, I'll tell you, well, you get some knowledge then, right? Because then you have more credibility there. But she starts talking to me about hunting in one ear and out the other. But I'll tell you what, if one of those professional hunters that are on TV sat down and said, you know what, I think you should try this, man, I'm perking up and I'm listening. Why? They have credibility. The author of this verse has some credibility when it comes to the things of God. The Apostle Paul wrote more Bible than anybody wrote. The Apostle Paul was used by God greatly. Not only was the Apostle Paul used by the Lord and instructed by Jesus, but he didn't even get taught it by anybody. You know, I went to Bible school. I have a pastor that teaches me things, and you have a pastor. He didn't have that. The Bible says Paul was taught one-on-one by Jesus Christ. That's pretty cool. And Jesus appeared to him and stopped his sinning ways and turned his life around. Well, so when he says this, it doesn't go in one ear and out the other. And when he's talking about the subject of tongues here, it makes me take note, and it makes me perk up and listen like I would with that professional hunter that does it for a living. Paul says this. He says, the Apostle Paul, the one that's written two-thirds of the New Testament, the one that's been appeared to by Jesus, who has so many revelations, I thank my God that I speak in tongues more than you all. Now, who's he talking to? Well, he's talking to the Corinthian church. The Amplified says, more than all of you combined. Paul, now I'll tell you, that's a wake-up call to me because I was told tongues is a bad word. I was told that tongues isn't for today. I was told that tongues is of the devil. I was told that tongues are for those crazy charismatic Pentecostals. Well, if that's what it means, then call me a crazy charismatic Pentecostal, because if that's what that man said, and he's bragging about tongues, he says, I do it more than you all combined. I'll tell you what, that's a good banner. That's a good billboard for tongues, isn't it? That doesn't sound like that there's something wrong with it. It sounds like Paul's endorsing it. Paul's encouraging it. And so that verse right there makes me say, wow, if someone that had that much power, if someone that did that much for Jesus is standing up and eternally recording for the rest of mankind, and when we pick up this word, that he's so thankful that he prays in tongues that much, there must be something to praying in tongues that I need. Amen? And of course we know, Jesus said, you'll be powerless without it. And so now, go with me to 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 2, and we're going to start looking at the benefits of it. Listen, I don't want my church to look a certain way because I get brownie points, or, you know, you get a stipend. You know, hey, if you have more people speaking in tongues, you get a little bit extra in your salary. Or, you know, when the guest minister comes, I hope that they see the church raise their hands. I could give a rip about that kind of stuff. I want people to be looking like the Bible. I have to give account for people. When I go to heaven, I have to give account. Did I teach the word or not? And so I could care less about all that other junk. I just want to teach the Bible. And so let's look here today in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 2. This is, again, the Apostle Paul writing. Now you're going to see, and we're going to point out, there's three benefits in this one verse about praying in tongues. It says, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. So today we're going to look at a total of six things. We won't take a whole ton of time on all of them. But we're going to look at a total of six benefits that the Bible says. And there's plenty more. I'm just only going to point out six of the main ones. But the first one I want you to see about praying in tongues is that it is a direct prayer connection or a direct prayer line between you and your Heavenly Father. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, and now notice that's important to realize, it's unknown. It's not French, because if you go in France and start speaking it, it's not going to be unknown. It's not Swahili. If you go into the tribes of Australia or wherever the heck they live and start speaking Swahili, someone's going to understand you. And it's not unknown. It's not German. It's an unknown tongue. That's why you're not speaking unto men, but unto God, for no man can understand him. No man understands tongues. That's why it sounds so ridiculous. Because it's a language the ears or the natural mind has never heard. My tongue sounds different than my wife's tongue. When she prays in tongues, I'm thinking, what the heck are you saying? Well, that's what I'm supposed to say. Because I don't understand her. Just like if someone came here and started talking Swahili, I'd be convinced they must be speaking in tongues. Because it would be not understood by me, but some people could understand that. But you can't understand tongues. No man understands him. And the only way that a man understands him is when a gift of the Spirit kicks in, and it's called tongues and interpretation of tongues, where God will supernaturally allow some hearer in the audience or some other minister to hear it in their own natural language. That way it would be a blessing to him. But that's only as the Spirit wills. This is talking about the prayer language when you speak to God in unknown tongues. So the first benefit is that it's a direct prayer connection to God. And I love that because only God knows what I'm saying. It's not for you to know. It's not for anybody to get in the way of. And it ain't for the devil to know. And I'll tell you what, here's why that's a blessing. You can pray in English. Don't you think the devil can hear you? Oh, he absolutely can hear you. He's always present. Big deal. He's defeated. Doesn't matter. But he can hear a prayer and he can start putting things, roadblocks in the way. Now, he can't stop you. You always have the victory if you'll endure and use your faith. You always have the victory over the devil. But he can throw roadblocks in the way to try to hinder that from coming to pass, to get you discouraged. Oh, Pastor Mike's praying for this. Well, let's just throw that in the way. Let's just throw that in the way. Let's see if he gives up. You know, the Bible says there's a great door open to us, but there's many adversaries that stand at the door. When a door of opportunity comes, don't think you're just going to walk into it like it's a bed of roses and la, 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 and skip in and sing, you know, Yankee Doodle Dandy or something. No. There's going to be tests and trials. Why, the devil's going to try to stop you, but if you endure, you'll get through it, and you'll win. You'll be victorious all the time. But people don't endure, and they back off, and they get discouraged, and that's what the devil's plan is. And so, when I love tongues because I can pray And he doesn't have a clue. And that's one of the reasons I believe it makes him so mad and he fights it so bad. Because tongue scares the devil. People used to say it's of the devil. No, it just scares the pants off him. Glory to God. Because he doesn't understand it. It's a direct prayer connection with our Heavenly Father. And I love it because it takes the mind out of it. Tongues has nothing to do with my mind or my natural language. That means there's no room for unbelief. There's no room for doubt. There's no room for human error in prayer. You know, people are all the time praying wrong. Let me give you an example of a wrong prayer. Somebody's sick in body. Lord, if it be thy will, then you'll heal me. That prayer is empty. You might as well twiddle your thumbs together and sing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. Your prayer will have that just as much effect as if you did that, because we know it's God's will. Lord, is it your will to heal? We'll find out in the Word if it is His will. And it is. And so people sometimes, their natural language, they mix doubt in. They mix unbelief in. And we know God's a God of faith. Amen. And God's a God of belief. And the only way you please Him is by faith, Hebrews tells us. And so one thing it does is it's direct prayer connection. It takes the human element out of it. Glory to God. It's a way I can connect. You know what I love about it? I don't mean this to be weird and you understand my heart. It's intimacy with my Father. It's just me and Him conversing in the quiet places. When I pray in tongues, I know that nobody else can hear it except my Heavenly Father. And yes, maybe I don't understand it, but He does. And my spirit is so happy praying and being intimate and being one-on-one with Him. And so, glory to God. That's the first one. The second one is it's a way to pray in the Spirit or to pray with your spirit. Notice it says, go back to verse 2. Hallelujah. It says that for he that speaketh in unknown tongues speaks not unto men but unto God, for no man understands him. How be it, ready, in the Spirit. See, we talked about this last week in 2 Thessalians 5, verse 23, that we're a three-part being, aren't we? We're a spirit. Our spirit's going to live on. Our spirit is living inside this shell called the body, and we have a soul, which is our mind, will, and emotions. Well, the spirit man's the real you. The spirit man's the one that's going to live on forever with Jesus. We know the body's just going to be here and decay on this earth. It says that when you pray in tongues, you pray in the Spirit. Your spirit man prays. The real you gets time to dominate and take over. Glory to God. What a blessing that is to pray from your spirit. And I'll tell you what, that's God talk. In John, we won't pull this up there or even turn there, but in John 4, it says that God is a spirit. Well, I'll tell you what, when you're speaking in tongues, you're speaking God talk, spirit talk. Glory to God. You talk about a whole new realm in your prayer life. You can't tell me that if you've only prayed with your natural mind that you haven't sometimes wondered, there's got to be more than this. There is something else there that I'm just not getting. I'm just not breaking through. Why? You're staying in the natural realm. You're staying in your mind. You're staying in the physical realm. You need to get into what you were made for. You were made for the spirit realm. That's the realm you're going to exist in for eternity, till forever. And when we pray just in the natural, it gets dry. And Lord, I know there's something more. Well, that something more is to communicate with God from your spirit. Hallelujah. And the third benefit in that verse that we see is, howbeit in the Spirit, He speaketh what? Mysteries. I'll tell you what. That is one of the greatest advantages of praying in tongues. Let me ask you a question. How many of you know what's supposed to take place for God's plan for your life, for the rest of your life? How many of you know everything that God has in store for you? How many of you know every next move you're supposed to make? You know, here's the awesome thing about God. You never have to take a wrong job again. You never have to move to a wrong city ever again. You never have to make a wrong move if you do it God's way. Say, is that possible? It sure is. Doesn't Proverbs 3 say, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding? In all your ways acknowledge Him. If you'll all your ways acknowledge Him, see, that's the problem. People aren't in all their ways acknowledging Him. But if you do that, He said, He'll direct your paths. When would God ever lead you astray? When would God ever leave you into lack? When would God ever leave you into wrong things? He never would. And so if you'll take time to hear from God, He'll lead you into all the right paths for your lives. And it says when you pray in tongues, you pray or speak out those mysteries. In the Amplified, it says, for one who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men but to God, for no one understands or catches his meaning. Now, this is what I want you to see. Because in the Holy Spirit, He utters secret truths and hidden things not obvious to the understanding. Kind of sounds like the plan of God for your life. that's hidden from you, that you don't know everything. I don't know every single thing. You know, one thing I forgot to mention in the announcements was the Olean church that we're starting. I was going to bring it up at the end of service, but it fits in here today. I wouldn't know about that had I not spent time praying in tongues, praying out the plan. Now, when the Lord told me you're going to start other churches, it was plural and already had one. So I know there's another one. I know there's another city that we're going to be going to besides Olean and starting another church. Of course, we're starting the Olean church September 7th, Saturday night. But I don't know where that other church is. I don't know when that other church is. It could be 25 years down the road. It could be 25 days down the road for all I know. But I'll tell you what, when I pray those things out, I speak out those mysteries, and I pray out those mysteries that are not obvious to my understanding, that are hidden from my understanding. You see, you have a plan. God has a plan for your life, and not everything is revealed to you, but praying in tongues will reveal it. I remember being at the Jamestown Church with my orange vest. I looked like an idiot, but I was out there anyways. My orange vest directing traffic, pacing back and forth in the mornings, just praising God and praying in tongues, saying, Lord, I just thank you. I'm praying out the mysteries. I'm praying out the plan. And then one day, all of a sudden, he dropped it in my spirit. So it was plain as day. You're going to pastor. You're going to be pastor someday. August of 2009, I'm in the Walker's Cherry Orchard. I'm picking up brush, and I'm praying in tongues from 8 o'clock that morning to 4 o'clock. I was working alone. I'm just worshiping and praising God and praying in tongues to the Father. And all of a sudden, it drops in my spirit. In fall of 2010, you're going to be pastor in church in South Dayton, New York. I didn't even know how to get to South Dayton. But the mysteries were revealed. Spending time, taking it out of here. People stay in this realm, and it hurts them. You speak out mysteries. Glory to God. Direct prayer connection, a way to pray in the Spirit, and you pray out mysteries. All right, let's go to the fourth thing in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 4. This is why the Father said, don't leave without this. Don't go out without this. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue, are you ready for this? Edifies himself. But he that prophesieth edifies the church. That's why the majority of tongues is for the private prayer time. There are times in service when you'll hear tongues being spoken forth, but they have to be the biblical rule of when to follow, when to do that. Because if we start all praying in tongues here right now, it's not going to benefit you. If I get up here and preach this whole message in tongues, it'll edify myself, but it won't edify you. Tongues, the majority of it, is for your private prayer closet, one-on-one with God. Because prophesying, which prophesying means speaking unto people with exhortation, edification, and comfort, that edifies everybody. When I tell you about the goodness of God, and I tell you about God's plan for your life, and I tell you that God loves you, and that God wants to heal you, and God wants to bless you, that edifies you. If I stood up here and preach in tongues for 45 minutes, that wouldn't edify you. And so, but here's what I want you to see. He that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. Wait a second, Pastor. I thought it was your job to edify me. I thought it was God's job to edify me. No, if you're unedified, it's your own fault. And let me tell you something about that word edify. In our more modern vernacular, you like that word? That was really deep right there, vernacular. And in our modern vernacular, that word edify means to build up or to charge. The Bible says he that speaks in an unknown tongue builds himself up or charges himself up. You know, it's interesting that, I have a lawnmower, and if that battery goes dead, I can't sit there and whine and smash on the hood and know that the battery's dead and see the empty charge and not even hear it turn over and get so mad. I need to do something about that, right? I need to stick a charger on there, some jumper cables, and get that thing charged back up. That's the way it is with Christians. They go out powerless. They go out empty. They go out unedified. And the world beats them up. The world, the devil tramples them. It's one thing after another. And I'm not saying you won't get tests, but there's a way to respond when tests come. When you know you're victorious, when you're built up, you just are floating on cloud nine. You're just, bring it on, devil. I'm going to win no matter what. But people are getting whooped on and beat up. Why? They're not edified. They're not charged. They're not built up. Jude chapter 20. Well, it's chapter 1, verse 20. There's only one chapter in Jude. Notice this now, but you, beloved, I love it, building up yourselves. Whose job is it to be built up? Yours. Yours. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith. How? Praying in the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. Well, remember what we just read. He that prays in unknown tongue prays in the Spirit or in the Holy Ghost. How do you build yourself up? Praying in tongues. Praying in tongues. I saw this example one time, and I'm going to use it and steal it for myself, if you don't mind. Praise God. It says that, go back to 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 4, please. It says, he that speaks an unknown tongue edifies or builds himself up or charges himself. One translation says, causes himself to rise higher and higher like an edifice, where you become solid, where you become like a foundation that can't be moved. Glory to God. It says, he that speaks an unknown tongue edifies himself. That tells me that as I pray in tongues, something's happening to me. Now, I might not understand it, but I know that by the Bible, I'm building myself up, right? You know, if someone said to do this, and every time you hit the pulpit, give you a $100 bill, you'd do it, wouldn't you? I mean, you would do it until your arm fell off, right? Well, the Bible says to speak in an unknown tongue. What am I trying to point out by that? Just do it, and you'll edify yourself, amen? It might not seem like something marvelous. This doesn't seem like something marvelous, but if someone said every time that pen hits, $100 coming your way. Doesn't seem spectacular, but that's what they said. The Bible says every time you pray in tongues, you're edifying yourself. You're building yourself up. Glory to God. Yeah, it's true. And that's why Jesus said, he said, listen, if you go out, you'll be unedified. You'll be unbuilt up, and the devil will have his way, and you won't be as effective for me. You see, this doesn't just affect you. You see, we have to get out of this mindset. Now, let me tell you this. If you're straying from the plan of God, he's merciful. I'll tell you what. You want to talk about someone that strayed from the plan of God? Listen, I'm your prime example. I've missed it more than probably should be allowed to miss it. Amen? Jesus, I'm surprised there was any blood to go left around to go for anybody else, because I thought he used it all on me. Amen? And he still uses it to forgive me. But if you're off the plan of God, just get back on it. Just, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm ready. Let's do it. Let's go. You love me. Praise God. But here's the thing is that When people get in that plan of God, and when Jesus told those disciples, don't leave without it, what was he saying? I need you to be built up because other people rely on you. Other people depend on you. See, here's the saddest thing that's going to happen for people. They're going to get to heaven, and Jesus is going to have them peek down into hell, because we read in Luke chapter 19, you can see from one place to the other. And people are going to look, and Jesus say, they shouldn't be here. They were supposed to come across your path. You see, you might be the only Jesus in somebody's life. It's true. You might be the Jesus that was supposed to come, and you were to, because you weren't on fire for God, because you weren't living it. You didn't have anything to give them, and then they go on living their existence. Yeah, it's true. This is not just for you to be built up, because this will benefit your life. You talk about going out into that world built up and charged up. It changes things when you go to your job, when you do a Monday morning, when you do things day after day, when times seem to be getting tough, when your finances say one thing, when your body says one thing, and you can build yourself up. I'll tell you what, things are different. Your love walks better, which affects your faith. Your faith walks better, which affects your receiving. Yeah, it's true. He that prays in an unknown tongue, or he that speaks, edifies himself. It's interesting. The first thing I'll ask somebody when they're down and out, when people are complaining, when they're moping, when they're griping and everything, they're touchy. The first thing I'll say to them is, what's your prayer and word time look like? And almost every time, Pastor, it's non-existent. When you don't pray, you don't build yourself up. When you don't get in the word, you don't feed your spirit. Can you imagine if we had one meal on a Sunday morning and didn't eat all week and then came back next Sunday? We would be cranky, we would be sick, we would be exhausted, right? We'd be weakly, we'd be sickly, but that's what the body of Christ is like. A bunch of weak, sick babies is what the body of Christ is. When you were meant to dominate, you were meant to be the body of Jesus Christ going into a dark world and absolutely destroying and annihilating the works of the enemy. But we're going out and getting whooped on by the devil, who the Bible says one day he's going to be revealed for who he is, and people are going to look upon him and say, this is the one that shook the nations? This is the one, this little defeated one that the Bible has called under your feet? He's the one tearing up your life and making things hard? No! Pull your bootstraps up, be a doer of the word, and get into the body of Christ and find your place. Amen. It's the truth. It's a sad state of affairs how Christians are. A sad state of affairs and how Christians don't look any better than the world. We are to be the example. Doesn't mean in pride. Doesn't mean we and love were an example. When somebody's down and out, we are the ones that pick them up. When a fellow Christian or someone that's not a Christian sins over and over again, we're not the ones kicking them. We're the ones saying, listen, God loves you. It's okay. I tell the story of when January 10th, 2002, I got born again. And for all the time, I had people kicking me. You got to give up that gambling habit. You got to give up that drug addiction. You got to give up. I was an alcoholic. I was a drug addict. I had a gambling problem. And if you think I'm kidding, you go talk to my wife about this. I lived a promiscuous lifestyle. I mean, I was rotten. I was as rotten as they came. And everybody kicked me, including my family, kicked me. God don't love you till you change. Till someone came along and said, God don't give a rip about that. He gives a rip about you. And I got born again, and then it started to show me. And then even after that, I've been a Christian. I've missed God, and thank God for mercy and grace, right? Hallelujah. Why do I say all that? Because somebody finally came along who was living it, who looked the part, who was full of love, who was full of compassion, who looked like Jesus. Jesus came up to the woman caught in the very act of adultery. He didn't beat her up. He said, woman, I don't condemn you. They don't condemn you. I don't condemn you. Just go and sin no more. Ah, that's Jesus. I don't care what you've been taught or what you've been told. That's Jesus. And so if you're down and out here today, Jesus loves you, man. I know that seems so simple, but he loves you and wants to get you back, praise God, and help you. And so that's the part we need to look. We're going to come across people that need us to be living it, that need us to be looking the part. That need us, and I'll tell you what, just the fact that it benefits your own life should motivate you. Man, I'll tell you what, I'm tired of getting beat up by a defeated foe that Jesus paid for. He's this big. He's little. Praise God. Isaiah 28 and verse 11, we got two more. Now remember, Jesus already said that if you go out without it, you'll be void of power. We're not even bringing that one out today. Isaiah 28. Verse 11. You ready for this?
Yes.
Isaiah 28, verse 11. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. Now notice this. To whom he said, verse 12, to whom he said, this is the rest. What's he talking about? The stammering lip and another tongue. He said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. You say, that's not talking about tongues, though it absolutely is. Because in 1 Corinthians 14, right around the 26th or 7th verse, Paul references this verse in the tongues chapter. He references this verse. He knows Isaiah is talking about praying in other tongues. And he says, praying in other tongues, that's what's going to cause the weary to rest. That's what's going to cause them to be refreshed. Why? Because when you pray in other tongues, you're built up. When you're built up, you're rested. You get refreshing. Glory to God. And it said they would not hear. Oh, isn't that the truth? There are people that will not listen to this doctrine. I don't want anything to do with that tongues business. Oh, you mean you don't want anything to do with that Jesus business? Because tongues is not some obscure passage that people try to make a doctrine out of. It is all over the Bible. Jesus said, they that believe in my name will speak with new tongues. This ain't something we preach on every Sunday. I'm not trying to build my church on speaking in tongues. I'm trying to build my church on preaching the word. But it's in here. It's in here. Glory to God. I said, this is where they'll be rested. This is where they'll be refreshed. Tell you what, set your alarm early. Set your alarm 30 minutes early and wake up and pray in tongues and you watch how it changes your day. You watch. Because the Bible's either so or it isn't. You spend time when you're in the car just praying and fellowshipping God with other tongues and you watch how your life will be different. You watch God start speaking to you in ways you've never heard him speak. Why? You're getting this involved. God doesn't speak to this. He speaks to this and this brings it up to this. That's how it works. Amen. Verse 6. Are you ready for the absolute most exciting? I like to always leave the best for last. Amen. Romans chapter 8, excuse me, verse 26, hallelujah. Do you know that the Bible says in 1 John 5, we won't turn there, that you can have 100% of your prayers answered? It says this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know he hears us, we know we have the petitions we ask for. Prayer to God should not be like a Hail Mary. And I don't mean the Catholic Hail Mary. I mean like the football Hail Mary. You know what a football Hail Mary is? At the end of the game, when they're down by a touchdown, they need a touchdown, but they're not close enough to either kick a field goal, or they're too many points down to kick a field goal, and they drop back, and they chuck that ball up in the air, and they just hope that it lands into the hands of one of their, and they call that a Hail Mary. That's the way Christians pray. They throw up a Hail Mary, and they just hope like heck that God catches it. That ain't how you have to live your life praying. Jesus said, if you pray according to my will, you can have it done every single time. 100% success rate if you do it God's way. And look at, and this is what I want you to see. It says in verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities or our weaknesses. Well, it's going to go on and tell you how the Spirit helps your weaknesses. It's going to define what your weaknesses are. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Let me read that in the Amplified. It'll bring it out a little clearer. So too the Holy Spirit comes to aid and bears us up in our weakness. Now here we go. For we do not know what prayer to offer, nor how to offer it worthily as we ought to. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever encountered a situation in your own life, or encountered a situation with a family member, or just a situation in general that you know God needs to get involved in it, but you don't have a lick of knowing how to pray for that? I have. Lord, I don't know what to say about this. There's things that have come across my desk. I say, I have no idea what to do about this. You ever? Or do you know it all? Because I don't. So you've all been there, right? Where you don't know what to do. I've been there, and I've been there a lot. I'm not afraid to admit it. I've been there a lot, and I just, Lord, I don't know what to say. Spirit does. So the Spirit helps us in those times that we don't know how to offer the right prayer. See, you have to offer the right prayer. You have to do it the right way to get God to move. Amen? And sometimes we don't know what to say. We don't know how to be in faith about something. We don't know how to offer the right prayer. But the Spirit of God does. Why? How? But the Spirit, when we don't know how, the Spirit, it should say himself, the Spirit's not in it. The Spirit himself makes intercession for us. What's it saying? The Spirit of God does it for us. When you don't know what to do and what to say and what to pray, the Bible says the Spirit of God does. And it makes intercession for us. Now, are you ready for this? With groanings which cannot be uttered, or if you look at that word, which cannot be understood. Sounds like an unknown tongue to me. You see, when you pray in tongues, the Spirit of God gives your spirit the words. And then you speak it forth out of your own mouth. And that's when it comes forth sounding like gibberish and sounding like something crazy, because it's unknown, but that's the Spirit of God. You see, you have the Spirit, you have your own Spirit on the inside of you, and you also have the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God gives your Spirit the things to say, and then you, through your own Spirit, out your own mouth, say the things that the Holy Ghost gives you, and then you're praying in unknown tongues. But when you're doing that, you're praying for those things that you don't know how, and look at what verse 27 says about it. It says, and he that searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is. Here it is. Because he, the Spirit, makes intercession for the saints. We just saw that. When we don't know, the Spirit prays for us. Now here's the thing. The Spirit doesn't pray out loud for us. The Spirit gives our spirit utterance, and then we speak it forth. He says, because he makes intercession for the saints, are you ready for this? According to the will of God. You say, what's the importance about being in the will of God? That's when you get the prayers answered. Because Jesus said in John 5 and verse 14 and 15, first John, he said, this is the confidence we have in him. When we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. When he hears us, we know we have the petitions. So when a situation arises that we don't know how to pray for, and we say, Lord, I don't know how to pray for it, but the Spirit does. So, Lord, I'm going to start praying in tongues concerning this situation. And because your word says so, I can trust that when I'm praying in tongues, I'm praying according to your perfect will. That's the beauty of this. It takes you beyond you. It puts you on the back burner. Has you take a seat and has God take over. You know, it's like this. I'm not the strongest person, but I could move this pulpit if I needed to, but let's say I couldn't. And let's say, you know, I don't know if you know this or not, but the Holy Ghost is called our helper. The Holy Spirit's called our helper. Let's say Jeff's here helping me. And let's say this is really heavy and I need help moving it. And I say, Jeff, I need help moving this pulpit. Could you get on the other end of this? If he's here to help me and I say, can you come help me move this pulpit? He's not going to say, sure thing, Pastor, be right there. Okay, let's go. You say, why are you showing me this, Pastor? Because when you say to the Holy Ghost, because you don't understand what you're saying, you say, how do I know I'm praying for that? He's your helper. The Spirit's there to help you. Holy Ghost, I have this situation in my family. Will you help me pray for it? Begin to take off praying in tongues. And your mind says, how do you know you're praying for that? The same way I know that when I ask my helper to help me on the pulpit, he's not going to be a moron and go grab that. He's going to help me with what I ask him for. The same thing, the Holy Ghost isn't dumb. You might not understand it, but you can trust the Word of God that He's helping you pray for that situation. I know that if I lift up my family and I don't know how to pray for them and I pray in tongues, I know I'm not praying for some tribe in Africa. The Holy Ghost is sticking to the duty that I ask Him. He's sent to help me. He's here waiting for an assignment from me. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. That to me is such a benefit to pray out. And that works for your own life. Lord, I don't know what I'm supposed to do in the next year. I don't know what I'm supposed to do with my life. Pray in tongues. And the perfect will of God is being prayed out. Hallelujah. And now, of course, I'm going to give people an opportunity to come up to receive it if you'd like to. But I want to point a few things out. Take me 2 minutes. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 2. You have to understand this before people receive this because their mind tries to get in the way. 1 Corinthians 14, 2, for he that speaks in an unknown tongue, it's unknown, okay? It's not English. When I lay hands on you and you open your mouth to speak, English will not come out. And when you hear something different, don't let that trip you up and stop you. It's not supposed to sound normal. In fact, in verse 14, 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 14, it says, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, remember, who does the praying? I do. The Holy Ghost does not take over your mouth, does not take over your voice box and start praying for you. You pray with what's coming up in your heart. Whatever words come out, they're going to sound different. Everybody's is going to sound different. But when I pray in an unknown tongue, remember, my spirit's praying, but my understanding or my mind is unfruitful. That means when you hear it, your mind's supposed to go on tilt. Your mind's supposed to start doing circles real fast with smoke coming out your ears. That's what's supposed to happen. And why am I pointing that out? Because people, that's what hinders people the most. They start it, they get it, they get filled, they start to speak. They don't hear English, they hear something weird. Say, whoop, I'm done. No, that's what's supposed to happen. And last but not least, Acts 2 and verse 4. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's as simple as the devil will put in your mind right now. I know there's people in your mind that, oh my gosh, I'm so nervous. Don't be. That's the devil trying to keep you from this. Your best days are ahead of you with God. Acts 2 and verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak. Who began to speak? They did. If you're waiting for God to tackle your spirit and tackle your voice box and to overtake it, you're going to be waiting for a long time because God's a gentleman and He won't do that. God works on the operation of faith. It takes faith for you to open your mouth and to start speaking. It doesn't take faith to stand there, have me lay my hands on you, have God overtake your voice box, overtake your lips and start speaking for you. They began to speak in tongues as the Spirit. As the Spirit, there it is, as the Spirit, not your spirit, the Spirit, gave them utterance. What happened? The Spirit of God gives them, their spirit, the utterance, and it comes out in the form of an unknown tongue. Praise God. Now let me encourage people. This will absolutely change your life. I would not be here today. I would not have the wife that I have. I would not have the kids that I have. I would not have this church. Olean wouldn't be in existence. Wouldn't have the home I have. Wouldn't be walking in the things of God if it wasn't for the baptism of the Holy Ghost and praying in tongues. Because every single one of those things were revealed to me while praying in the Spirit. Every single mystery that I've walked out has been revealed to me that way. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So praise God. Before we call people up, I'm gonna put a song on. And... you know, if nobody comes up, well, praise God. We'll That's not my job to force you to come up. But we're just going to worship God and put this song on. We're just going to worship God. But if you want, if people come forward, I'll instruct you. I'll lay hands on you. And there's plenty of us in here that pray in tongues. We'll pray in tongues with you. And we'll all get this. Praise God. So just right now, let's go ahead and just bow our heads and let's just begin to worship God. I'm going to put a song on. Praise God. It'll be a blessing to us. Thank you. Glory to God. Well, praise God. Someone got filled with the Holy Ghost, praying in other tongues. Hallelujah. Let me encourage everybody here today. If you didn't come forward and you know you should have, listen, I didn't get filled with the Holy Ghost by having someone lay hands on me. I didn't get filled with the Holy Ghost by being in a church service. I was in my apartment when I was going to Fredonia State, and I knew it was for me. I had been taught on it just like you were taught on it. And I said, Lord, I want this gift. And I just simply said to him, just the same way I asked him to save me, I said, Lord, I ask you to fill me with the Holy Ghost. I receive it now. And he did, and I began to open mouth and speak in tongues. My wife, you got filled at college, right, in Pennsylvania, in her dorm room by herself. And so this is just an easier way to get it, because what it does is you're surrounded by faith, you're surrounded by other believers, and it helps to jumpstart you when the pastor lays hands on you, and that is a biblical way to do it. But you don't need hands laid on you to receive the Holy Ghost. So I encourage you, if you just didn't come forward, maybe because you're really shy and it's just something that, oh man, standing in front of people really trips me up. Listen, no condemnation. Just get alone with God. Or even if you say, Pastor, I want this gift. Could we do that in the privacy of your office? Well, my wife and I will go into the office by ourselves. It'll just be us three, and we'll lay hands. We've done that way before for people too. Listen, we're not trying to embarrass people or hurt people. We're just trying to get people the gift that God has for them. And so if that's you and you want it, please come see me. We'll make sure you get it. And we just love everybody so much. Amen. Well, real quick, before we close the service, if you'd bow your heads, close your eyes, please. If you're here today, you know, getting filled with the Holy Ghost is awesome. But I'll tell you what, salvation trumps it. Salvation trumps healing. Salvation trumps prosperity. Salvation trumps everything. And the Bible says that if you call on the name of the Lord, you will be saved. Maybe you're here, or maybe you're listening to this message over the computer, and you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Well, let me tell you, it's simple. All you have to do is say, Lord, I believe in you. I believe you died on the cross. I believe you rose again. You might say, well, you don't know all the nasty things I've done in my life. Who cares? Jesus wants to forgive you for all of it. So if you're here with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you've never received Jesus, would you raise your hand if you want to receive Jesus this morning? Is there anybody in the service that's never received Jesus? I don't see any hands here, but I don't know everybody that's listening, and people might be shy to raise their hand. If you're listening, or if you're here and you know you need to receive Jesus, we're going to pray a prayer with you that's going to lead you into that gift. And I just ask that you'd repeat it after me, but when you repeat it, mean it with all your heart. Let's go ahead and let's all pray this together. Everybody say this. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you rose again from the dead. And I ask you to come into my life. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Michelle, you can go ahead and hit stop on the live stream back there. Michelle filled in for us today. She did an awesome job. See, she helped.